I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt.
Hi, and welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. Today, we have a special show for you. It is the man, the myth, the legend, Dave Meyer. And he is joining us today on the set of the Talk It Out podcast to discuss how your thoughts affect your marriage. Uh-oh, yeah. What are you thinking about your spouse? It matters. So you also know Joyce will have plenty to add to this conversation as well. Joyce and Dave have been married for 57 years. They have a lot of life experience to share. So get nestled in, grab a cup of coffee. You will not want to miss this time of sharing stories, wisdom, and laughs.
You have no idea what we have planned for you, so.
Yeah, right.
For Joyce?
Yeah, no.
For you.
You, Dave.
Okay.
I can walk off this set anytime I want.
He's already starting with threats. Welcome to Talk It Out.
Yeah, right.
We have a special guest with us today on the show, one of your favorite guests of all time. Dave Meyer is here with Yay! All of the ladies today. Yay! And we know that the marriage episode that we did quite a while ago is the top played episode of all of Talk It Out. Mm-hmm. So, Dave, you're the smash hit here.
Well, they just want to see what's behind Joyce. Who's the guy behind the lady?
Yeah, right.
And I think a lot of people want to talk about their marriage a little bit, too. So yeah. Today we're continuing our reoccurring series on what are you thinking? And today we're going to talk about the importance of marriage and the way that we think really impacts our relationships, whether you're married or not. This is going to be really helpful. Yeah. But there's no way around it. You can think yourself into a worse marriage sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
After 56 and a half years, trust me, I've learned how to think right.
You both said, oh, yeah.
56 and a half years.
56 and a half years, yeah.
That's quite an accomplishment.
It is.
How has your thinking about each other, about marriage in general, changed through those years?
Quite drastically. In the beginning, of course, I mean, with Joyce, you know, having gone through the childhood she went through, it was very difficult. But in those years, she was like a yo-yo. Mm-hmm. She did a lot of things erratically because of the hurt she went through.
Sure.
And, you know, like I told people, a couple of times she wouldn't talk to me for 3 weeks, wouldn't say one word for 3 weeks when she got mad. So, you know, those are things that everybody, not 3 weeks probably, but everybody in marriage deals with situations, ups and downs, good and bad. And, you know, to have the blessings in marriage, you have to go through all those things and learn about your wife and your life and how to deal with those situations. Mm-hmm. And now our marriage is so much different because we basically let each other be themselves. And really, that's God's design, because his design is for, you know, her great qualities to fill my bad qualities, mm-hmm. or qualities I don't have.
You mean there aren't any?
Right. I knew she'd chime in.
She was waiting for that.
Yeah, right. Are my good qualities to fill in her qualities? And in the beginning, she had a lot of tough situations and bad qualities that, you know, I had to be strong enough to live through. And God, yeah, I mean, I can't say that it was my effort or great ability, because God had prepared me for this all the young years growing up, you know, you know, the relationship I have with him. And so she asked me the other day, she said, what do you think about marriage? I said, I don't think about marriage. I do marriage. And basically what I do is I take the Word of God and apply it in areas that it needs to be applied. And really, you can't do that unless you know the Word of God.
Yeah.
So that's the crux of marriage is, if you know the Word of God, if you're privileged to know the Word of God, which shows you how to deal with situations, and you apply that Word, then that get you through those situations. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So, you know, like he said, he knew that he couldn't change me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he would just, he would pray.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, so there's a big thing right there.
Yeah.
It's like.
Because it'd be easy to think she'll never change.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And he
end
said.
End of story.
I think one of the most important things that Dave has said, I want to be sure we bring it out on this show, is that he said he knew in the beginning that marriage was forever.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So he didn't start playing that game in his head. If you keep this up,
sure,
I'm not going to stay.
You didn't think about changing.
No.
You know how many people plan to get a divorce if things don't. Mm-hmm. If this doesn't change, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to put up with this if you don't change. And he never thought like that. He said this marriage is forever, and he knew he couldn't change me. Which is the second biggest mistake that everybody makes is they try to change each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't.
It's an inside job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't possibly know somebody, well, especially Dave and I, we had 5 dates and got married, so we didn't know each other at all. Mm-hmm. At all. I mean, I didn't even know Dave played golf. And that's like.
Oh, man.
That's like a major part of our life now. And.
You've also said, though, that if you had more than 5 dates that. You know, it may not have worked out this way.
He probably would have seen what he was getting and ran.
I wouldn't have.
That's so sweet.
It was
sweet.
A supernatural intervention, really.
Yeah.
For
he likes,
me to
he
do
likes
it.
A challenge.
I was looking, I was looking for a wife at that time. And, I'd been out of service for 3 years, and I was dating 3 girls, and I thought, these are not
well,
the girls.
Well, look at you, Dave Meyer.
Well, how about that, huh?
He believes that faith without works is dead.
Yeah, faith without works is dead. I mean, you're not going to find the right one, you've got to sit around and hope they come your way.
And that's good advice for the singles today.
Although it did happen that way. A guy needed a ride home, and, you know, of course, I think I shared this on the last show. A guy I worked with in the engineering field needed a ride home one night, and there she was outside. And, you know, I had prayed for somebody, and I prayed for somebody that needed help. And
that was a mistake.
No, it wasn't a mistake. That's how I got you. And so along comes Joy. She's out there washing her car in shorts. And I said, oh, she looks cute.
Oh.
And so back then you roll down the windows, you know, hand roll them down. And
it took a little while.
I said, hey, after you done washing that car, you want to wash mine? And first word comes out of her mouth is, buddy, if you want your car washed, wash it yourself. And so what went off of me was, that's the girl for me. That's the girl for me. And, you know, that had to be supernatural.
It had
to
be
happen.
Divine intervention.
Yeah.
I mean, who would think like that?
Yeah. But,
so when she was a yo-yo in the beginning,
yeah.
What did you think?
Up and down.
Yeah. Did you think about...
Well, no, I knew what she had gone through and why she was in this situation,
yeah.
Why her condition was that way. It didn't make it, easy or anything, but it still gave me an understanding of where she was and why she was that way.
That's
and
huge.
So that helped a lot, you know, and like I said, I knew marriage, I'd been raised in a Christian family, and I knew marriage was for life, and mm-hmm. I believed that in my heart. And so that wasn't even an issue, so the next step was, okay, we deal with each situation as it comes up, you know, and it's like anything in life, you learn by experience or growth, you know, little by little, step by step. And so we learned about each other, and now our marriage is, you know, a great marriage. And, of course, it has been for many, many years. It's a great marriage, and we never have an argument anymore. But we...
I think we do occasionally, but he doesn't think so.
No.
Well, so you argue about
if it's
an argument or not.
Yeah. In the beginning, if we had words, I call it words, if we had words, after we kind of got over it, I would never remember it, but she could remember things 2 years back.
Oh, absolutely,
or 3 years.
We can.
I mean, she had it charted, one thing after another. You know? I mean, it would come out, boom, 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 boom.
Well, my memory's not that good anymore.
Well, that's why our marriage is so good.
Something to look forward to for all of our marriages.
He was like, where do you keep all this stuff stored?
I thought, man.
She has an Excel spreadsheet.
You got a computer for a mind. How do you remember all this stuff? Because, when it's over, it's over. I just forget it. It's done with, you know. And so, go on.
I remember when Dave came to me and he said, you know what? I've tried every way that I know how to make you happy. Hmm. And you just don't want to be happy. So I'm going to be happy whether you are or not.
Yeah.
And, oh, that infuriated me because he would just go on and enjoy his life no matter how miserable I was. But it actually was one of the best things he did for me because if you let an unhappy person make you unhappy, then you're codependent.
Yeah.
And a lot of people watching are.
Yeah.
They wait to see if they can be happy till they see if their kid that's a problem is happy or their husband that's a problem is happy. And each one of us is responsible for our own joy.
Yes, we are.
And so he went ahead and enjoyed his life. And eventually I thought it became an example to me. And I wanted what he had.
Mm-hmm.
So for Christian people watching, if you're married to somebody that's either an unbeliever or somebody that's a wounded believer, you need to live the Christian life in front of them. Don't stay so busy trying to get them to do what's right, but you just be stable in doing what's right.
Yeah.
And that really had a greater impact on me than anything. And then as far as thinking is concerned, one of the big mistakes that I made is I would always think about what was wrong with Dave.
Yeah.
And that's what we shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. Because if you took a list and you wrote down everything that's right with the person you're married to and everything that's wrong with them, I can pretty much guarantee that the right list would be a lot longer than the wrong list.
I did that one day.
Did it, and it, was that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took some work, though, because I was really mad that day.
Yeah.
But it did take some work.
Yeah. So the wrong things are at the forefront of your mind.
Yeah, those all came out that long. Yeah, the wrong list got longer first.
You had to search for the good.
I did, but it helped.
But it's like when we focus on those things, then you forget all the good things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what we need to do is pray about the things that are bothering us and always remembering, you know, anytime you pray for somebody else, you better do it with some humility because you got issues too.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is such a good point. True. Yeah.
I mean, I just, anytime I pray about something that I think is wrong with somebody else, I always say, you know, I got plenty of issues of my own, so I do this with all humility.
And the other thing is when you pray for somebody, don't expect everything to work out perfect right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, it usually gets worse because then when you're praying and God's working on them, then their flesh is going to act up. And people think, well, prayer didn't work. Mm-hmm. But that's the time to get encouraged, not discouraged. And most people get discouraged because they think their prayer isn't working when in actuality it is working.
Yeah, I had that exact experience praying for Tim. And I had prayed this verse that I knew God gave me for him for years in our marriage when this problem came to light that he had a problem with pornography.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, God, how can this be? You know, I've been praying this for so long.
Yeah.
And so why are we having this come up now? And it was just like God told me so clearly in my spirit, it's come up now because you've been praying this. He's going to deal with it. Yeah. You're going to get past it.
Yeah.
So it does. It feels like the prayer wasn't answered. Everything fell apart instead.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to get to that point for the prayer to be answered.
That's right.
Because that's true. When God starts dealing with you, you usually act worse.
Yeah.
That's so true.
And so you see, now when I act bad, you can just...
God's working. Yes. God's
answering my prayers.
I give you a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Well, we do love it when Joyce is teaching, and she always uses so many great stories about Dave.
Yeah.
And every now and then, Dave disagrees on a story.
Yeah.
And
he thinks I exaggerate. I don't know how anybody could think that I would exaggerate.
You embellish stories. And that means you add to.
Well, we're going to take a look at one of those experiences that we had at a conference. And then we're going to come back and dissect it and talk about a few of the things that come up in this conversation. It's going to be fun. Watch this.
Dave did a little shopping today. And he bought two paintings that he loved. And guess who didn't? And do they match anything in the house? Dave likes things to stand out. But the problem is he wants everything to stand out.
So you go in a room and you think you're going crazy. Because it's all standing out. Okay, now, this is between sessions. And I'm not liking this. And I could feel it coming. How many of you know you can feel it coming? It starts somewhere down in here and just moves up. And here's the trick. You got to stop it before it gets to your mouth. I didn't want the pictures. I didn't want to spend the money. But we have them. And I realized I am going tonight to teach on entering the rest of God. Come on. I am going tonight to teach on entering the rest of God, and the devil is standing on his head trying to upset me. And I'm not going there. Been there, done that. No, thank you. So he can just put his pictures in his room, in his office, lock himself in there, and just trying to figure out what to look at. He's talking to me about these paintings, and I've got like a million things running through my head trying to get ready for all this stuff, and I'm like, painting, how much, why, huh? And then I had to go see them, and I didn't want to go see them because I didn't have time to go see them. And then when I saw them, I really didn't want them, but we have them. Now he
you know, this was long overdue. Go over and sit down for a minute, will you? This has been long overdue. I could have bought the most beautiful picture of Jesus, and she would have said, I don't like it. Hey, listen. She's inferring that I'm always right. Well, I'm married to Miss Wrong. The problem is her first name is Never.
Come on, ladies, help me.
Dave was just saying that you still love those paintings.
Yeah, right? I still don't like them.
Do you still have them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You would not believe the artwork that Dave has in his office.
And it's beautiful. Beautiful.
Everything in there is different.
It's a matter of opinion. It's right here.
I know. He'll have like a snow-covered mountain and a big sunset.
A sunset? What sunset?
But he does have a lot of pictures of me, so that kind of levels it
helps counter it.
Does counter it.
So let's talk about some of the things that came up in that conversation.
Well,
so
one thing that came up is now I have freedom to get as many pictures as I want.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Because if she didn't learn her lesson, I have to keep going. You know, to help teach her.
It's your duty.
It's your duty. Yeah. He always tells me that God had him marry me to crucify my flesh, and I said, you're not far from wrong.
That's a portion of it, yes.
That's the difference of opinion has been one that's come up for us quite a bit, especially in 2020. So everybody's opinions about everything. Everybody was talking about their opinions.
Big opinions.
Big opinions. And that was also a year that Mike and I started going through some really difficult things. So it exacerbated our difference of opinions. Yeah. And he had a really difficult time with the fact that I didn't agree with him on everything. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. He told me later that it made, excuse me, Dave. He said it made, like, for bigger things, it made him feel unsafe that I didn't think exactly like he thought, because he thought that meant we weren't unified. And I said, no, I just have a different opinion, and it's okay. It. So I remember reading your book about loving people who are hard to love. It came out around then. And I, there was a couple pages you talked about how you have to learn that it's okay to disagree, like agree to disagree. And I highlighted it and I took a picture and sent it to him. And I said, this is what we need. Because I think it's not intuitive to just be okay with that.
Yeah. Well, she was that way. She was that way because of the way she had been treated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she thought when I disagreed with her on something or I had my opinion on something, mm-hmm. it wasn't actually a disagreement. I have an opinion. She's got an opinion. You know, if there's something where we don't have the same opinion, I'm not saying her opinion is wrong, but I have the right to my opinion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so she felt like I was saying her opinion is wrong by voicing my opinion, which is not really the truth. Mm-hmm.
It would help, though, if you said you could be right.
So over, and that doesn't hurt, yeah,
sure.
Over a period of time, I did. I said that. I said, you have a right to your opinion. Right. I have a right to mine. Mm-hmm. And over a period of time, you know, she has, you know, saw that, you know, because I can see why she couldn't at first because of the way she was treated all her young life growing up. But then after a period of time, she realized that she was doing that. And
I felt rejected.
Yeah.
If he didn't agree with my opinion.
Uh-huh.
And God had to teach me that just because he rejects your opinion doesn't mean he's rejecting you as a person.
Yeah.
And those are hard to sometimes separate.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
I remember having similar things in our marriage where, you know, we're just very different, whether it's opinions or just the way that we handle things or whatever. And I remember thinking, I wish he was more like me, which is not that's a terrible thing to think. Yeah. I mean,
but you are great. So
thank you. And I love you for that. But there are so many things that he brings that I need.
Yeah, right.
And like you guys were talking about earlier, filling in for one another. But that thought of, I wish he was more whatever.
Yeah.
I wish he was less whatever instead of appreciating what God puts in him and how we complement each other and how he really does help take me places, balance things out, you know, that I wouldn't go without him.
Yeah.
So that thought process, whether it's just opinion or we're meant to be different. That's
exactly
the whole point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most people marry opposites, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the reason is, because the strengths that you need, they have.
Mm-hmm.
And the weaknesses that you have, you know, they fill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tim and I have one that's very similar to you guys, too, and that's that I'm a storyteller. Like, I've been accused of exaggerating maybe once or twice.
Most women do.
And
probably.
But at the same time, I'm a condenser, so, you know, I want it to have a point.
Sure.
Tim is a detail man. You know, he's an engineer, so it's all about the details and the stories. I can gloss over, and at some point, I'm just like, get to the point. I don't need the whole spreadsheet.
That's exactly the way I am.
Everything that's happening. But I have also learned to appreciate some of the things that I could gloss over and miss.
Mm-hmm.
That he brings out and he holds on to. So, but that's taken some time,
and I
too.
I told her, you know, you don't like detail, yet when you teach, you teach with detail.
Mm. Yeah.
And so, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
I'm a bottom line person. You know, I can go through a museum in 30 minutes, and Dave can be in there for 3 days. So.